S A save that S T story about our neighbors. We have started. Yes. Now I can say it. Okay. Well, we were just talking to our neighbors across the street, and we get a box of produce every week from Judith's farm, Full Belly, and it's community supported agriculture, which means that we pay a certain amount every week, and we get a box of whatever grows. C H very cheap. Yes, very cheap. You get lots of stuff for very little money, and it's very fresh. And some weeks people don't pick up their boxes, so we take them and distribute them around to neighbors and churches and stuff. But so anyway, our one neighbor, is that this, is this the story you want me to tell? W R wrong story. Which story am I telling? How we got the box? Oh, from another neighbor across the street who had just moved in, and this was kind of a way of introducing herself to us. She said she gets this box of produce every week, and it's already paid for, and she's not going to be here, and would we like to go pick it up and have it? And it was like a completely new concept to us, and so we went, and we were like extremely excited and immediately signed up. It is R A rare to find some thing that we all the P A parts are I right. It's rare to find something that all the parts are right. F U Full Belly is one of those examples. B.
Thank you.
You are my H E R heroes. Yeah, that's true. We R E A read the newsletter every week. Yes, we do. And get I N S inspired by the different stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get started
at Full Belly or on the CSA?
Yeah, or on the CSA. Well, at Full Belly, I think both, right? Yeah, both.
Well, we just there's four of us that are partners there that run the business. Four partners, and we really got started out of friendship for each other and the understanding that we had that farming was something that we really wanted to do and that made the most sense of out of our lives. We're interested in it for both lifestyle reasons as well as political reasons. It's a lifestyle that is wonderful because you are in the country. You also, it's work that you produce something at the, that you can look at the end of the day and be proud of. It's bringing health to people. You're, it's very satisfying in many ways as work. But it's also, politically, food and farming are just very important in terms of changing a lot of environmental problems and also equity problems in terms of food and who gets it and whether it's good for them and those kinds of things.
Yes. My, it is on the front line on a lot of FRO fronts.
Farming and food and yeah. It is. And we try to incorporate some of that into our CSA, our Community Supported Agriculture Project, because we can have relationships with the people that are eating our food that start in terms of just what you're eating and appreciation of the tastes of good food, but it can evolve into much more than that, an appreciation of what an alternative food and farming system would be like, how it would support a community, how it would support the environment, how it would support the workers at our farm, all the different things that it can do, how it might be used to eventually shut down or at least provide a counterforce to folks like, you know, fast food, McDonald's, pesticide companies, pharmaceutical companies, cancer-causing companies that sell chemicals that are bad for the environment, all of those kinds of things, I think. And it feels like our relationship with our members can help them see all of those relationships a little bit.
That is why it is S so D dangerous to them.
Why? Well, that's, yeah.
Why they want to get into organic farming.
Right. And if you think about genetically engineered crops and seeds, they really could be the death knell of organic because they spread without control. I mean, once they're out in the environment, it's very, very hard to control them, to keep them contained. And so it's kind of like, it's very, very dangerous. And they have genetically modified seeds and crops are a good example of that, of exactly what Frank is talking about here.
But A L also B I big S O big so C so called organic the large so called organic farms, the monocropping, I think it's called.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that that's an issue that a lot of us are talking about. There's sustainability and sort of this alternative community-based food system that we're trying to create deals with not just environmental issues, but also social and economic issues. And so just following organic laws and growing organic food it's part of it, but it's not the whole picture. And so,
isn't it true if you're just growing one crop that you're not really following, you know, the thing about like you know, switching things around and all that kind of stuff. I mean, is that true?
To some degree, that's true. It's, yeah. it's, you know, it's better for wildlife and for the crops, I think, if you grow, have a lot of diversity. And, there's ways to introduce diversity that may not involve growing many crops at the same time. They may involve growing hedges along the sides of your fields or cover crops in your fields. So there's many different kinds of diversity that you could introduce if you wanted to just grow one crop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say all you wanted to grow was peaches.
Right.
You could just grow peaches, but you could then also encourage wildlife with hedges or cover crops and things. So it's not just the monoculture. It's just the big context of where it is and how, what practices are being used.
I am having a hard time focusing in because there are a lot of aspects to talk about. Where to? Where to start? Why? Why were you R-A-D radical?
Well, I think probably because of Vietnam War and those activities, and then became interested in environmental issues.
How
did I become involved? Let's see. I think just out of my heart, you know, and through seeing firsthand, you know, seeing and growing up in California and seeing how California is changing and getting more and more crowded, and how that's impacting the wildlife and habitat and so forth. I think through that experience, I became concerned about environmental issues and interested in the movement to do something about them.
What is the movement?
The movement is, I think there's probably many different movements, and I'm most work on food and farming issues and the effort to transform agriculture in California and the effort to help make good, high quality food available to as many people as possible. But that movement isn't just something that involves people who like to eat good food and the farmers who are growing it. It involves, you know, teachers and kids and doctors and public health professionals. And so I think there's lots of different movements that work together as part of the food and farming movement that I'm mostly involved in.
When You are in a H O S hospital. You don't get healthy food.
Right, you know, and when you're in a school, when you're a kid going to school and you're getting food from a cafeteria, you get really bad food. You get, you know, McDonald's and all this just terrible food they're serving in the cafeterias. A lot of the institutional, food cafeterias and so forth, they have terrible food. You don't get healthy food at all. So one of the things that is very important is to try and get locally grown food into schools and hospitals and cafeterias and even jails. You know, as many of those institutions need to be buying local organic food.
Why is E A eating L local important?
My feeling about it is that if the more that we get to know where our food comes from, the more we'll have a way of supporting farms that are able to provide food for our communities. And so sort of one of the first steps that people can take is to start eating local food. And they could go, you know, to a farmer's market, or they could join a community-supported agriculture program. And then as they start eating local food, they get educated about what the seasons are. They get more grounded in an environmental reality, because they're eating, they understand that you don't eat tomatoes all year. You eat tomatoes, they're the best. Yeah, when in the summertime. So that's sort of the first step. And then maybe people, if they want to learn more about it, start figuring out that when they get food that's not locally grown, they can buy it from farmers that are using sustainable or organic practices in Mexico or in France or in other places or in other states. So they sort of get educated about supporting this movement locally first, and then maybe in other parts of the world as well.
How can you find out if something is grown sustainably that's not local on a SM small scale, a small farm? B, E, because we T R tried, you mean like at the grocery store and stuff? We've been told that like in the organic grocery store that some portion of the stuff comes from large organic farms.
Yeah.
And the information's not like there.
Right. I think it's hard. It's hard to know for sure. I think one of the things that the organization that I work with, that's a nonprofit organization, the Community Alliance with Family Farmers, that we're trying to do is figure out how to answer that question, how to create a network of all the different farms and businesses that are independent and that are small scale and all of those things. And you know how there's those independent booksellers that have that little stamp that says Booksellers Association?
And
it's like, we're not Borders. And, you know, we're not an international chain. We're a locally owned bookstore.
That would be great.
We kind of feel like some sort of a network of those kinds of businesses would be really helpful to people.
So and, then and maybe so you at have the grocery store, you'd see the little seal.
Because it's not just about organic.
Right.
And in my opinion, you don't want to be... It may be that there are farms that aren't organic, but that are practicing some of these... you know, that are independent, that are small scale, that use very few chemicals, and that are doing things that we all care about that may want to be part of this network.
Wow.
If they're small scale and so forth.
Yeah.
So. But right now, I think it's hard to know.
And if you be I, be you, if you buy from local L.A. large farms in other CO countries, you are supporting the DEA, the death of a small farm, local, in that sea, in that country where the large farm is located.
You know, I think one sort of optimistic thing that's definitely happening in California and in this country is the sort of parallel development of the small and medium scale farm through these local CSAs and farmers markets. Those have just been mechanisms that have been very, very supportive of small scale farms. And so in some ways the farms are developing a niche market, you could call, I mean, that's what it's being called. I sort of see it as hopefully a growing dominant market, but it's a niche market at the moment that can exist at the moment in a parallel way to the other market. I mean, we're kind of just bypassing that other market.
But the C O R, the corporations, SEC, that and think and want in. See that and want in mean like the small or the large. They just want to get in on the organic movement because there's money to be made.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's why this idea of a network could be very important.
Yes.
Because we need to support those small-scale farmers, small-scale business, you know, retail outlets, little stores, the grocery stores, the distributors. The ones that are independent are the ones that we want to support, and we need to help identify them for people. Yeah.
Yes. We have SEE seen what is CA called HEA health food Oh, the grocery store? What's going on? It's so sad. Well, like, you know, I mean, part of why we stayed in this neighborhood because there's a Berkeley Natural Grocery around the corner. So it was, but it's been happening over like 4 or 5 years maybe where it's getting those less and less stuff that we can actually buy there. It started when the sugar thing started. All of a sudden there was like this organic sugar. And so we did like a lot of research on it and actually came up with this whole booklet, you know, where we contacted all the companies and really kind of got the info on what the sugar thing is health-wise and everything and presented that to the owners of the store, and they totally agreed with it, that it was like not the direction they wanted to go in, yet they never did anything. You know, like we said, why don't you just put signs on things? Because people buy things that used to not have sugar in them, and all of a sudden they have sugar in them, and nobody tells you. You know, why don't you just put little signs, this has sugar in it, this doesn't have sugar in it. And, like, they just didn't do anything, you know. And now it's gotten to where it seems like there's so many things that we used to get that we can't get anymore because either they have sugar in them or they have, like, white flour in them. That seems to be more the trend than not.
Yes.
What? When? C. O. R. Corporations, oh, bought all those little companies, you know, like this,
right,
the companies that made the juice or made the cereal. Then they got bought up by the corporations.
Yeah. That's all true. That's all a problem.
S. P. S. O. So. P. People. Think. They are S still be buying healthy food from small from these small companies. They don't realize that they're now, you know, owned by the same people that are making Cheerios and stuff.
I mean, I think most people take baby steps. They start with baby steps, and so I feel like these issues can be really kind of overwhelming, my experience has been that if you start people getting them addicted to really good organic vegetables, it's like one of those transformative things that happen to people. You know, they may be someone who buys any kind of food at first, and then they start eating vegetables and organic food. And I feel like I've seen quite often that from that little baby step, people can change what they eat. Does change them. We actually have a name for this. We call it the food ethic, because you've probably heard of the conservation ethic, which says that people by recycling or, you know, driving a high efficiency car or by being more efficient in the way they use water, all those little things that people can do personally can actually help the environment in a really big way. You know, they can save the environment. We really believe that there's a lot of things that people can do that are very easy and even fun for them to do on a personal level that can have these profound and larger impacts. And so, you know, I think it's true that there's huge and powerful forces out there that are going to sort of take advantage of us and make money from the food that we eat in any way that they possibly can. And at the same time, though, I think that if we start explaining to people that by what they eat and the food that they buy, they can make a huge difference. The food ethic, they're making a difference in terms of how food becomes available to communities, how communities grow, whether there's open space outside of your community. All of these things that we care about in terms of a good food system, it sort of is a baby step that gets people involved. First, they start eating from a farmer's market. Next, you find out they join an organization, you know, that supports sustainable agriculture. Next, they start gardening, you know. Next, they start eating only good food and not going to, you know, McDonald's and Safeway and stuff. So it's all baby steps, but we feel like we need to just keep talking to people about it and hoping that it catches on.
That is very radical. But it does W-O work.
It works, yes. Yeah.
Like W I with L U with lover, people think they can not do A L U a lover. You mean that it is something that's possible, that it's something they think it costs a lot of money, but the MAI, the main RE reason why they don't do it is because they think A, if you don't REA reach millions of people, it's not worth it. All why bother?
Right.
When, where, see, change, always, S starts, S small.
Right. And I think also, like I was saying before when you asked me what is the movement, I think it starts in many, I think for us, it has to be, we have to have a diversity of threads in the fabric that we're trying to weave. It can't just be farmers and people who, like us, who like really good food. It has to be, you know, low-income people and public health professionals. And I think all of a sudden we have to recognize that we have common interests, not just around food, but around health and food access and all kinds of associated issues, so that it's not just around organic. You know, it's really a broad social movement that includes issues that matter to a lot of people. And so I think if we start talking about it in those terms, it will start small. But I think once we reach out beyond sort of just an environmental definition or a farming definition of what we're doing, I think we might start reaching more people. I feel like the sustainable agriculture movement has in the past defined itself a lot in terms of farming and, you know, the environment. And I think we're starting to realize that, in fact, we have a lot in common with low-income people and a lot in common with public health people and a lot in common with teachers who want to have kids be calm and eat good food, you know. And so it starts small, but I think as we reach out beyond ourselves and our own concerns about our health and so forth, I think it may gain momentum.
E-A. Each. P. E. Each person. I. Have. On the show. R. E. A. Really, T talks about the same thing. No matter what their thing is. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. If we R E A really realize that if we realize that it has a P O powerful power M U C much G greater than the B I the big guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That they know, and they know that.
Mm-hmm.
The big guys.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. There's a farmer in France that you may have heard about, who is sort of leading a lot of the farmers there Jose Bové. He first became known in this country because because he and a bunch of other friends and farmers went and started to dismantle a McDonald's that was being built nearby. Since that time, you know, he's written a lot and talked a lot about the issue in France of helping the small-scale farmers there to survive. Mm-hmm. And he has, one of his books is called The World Is Not For Sale. Everything mm-hmm. is not for sale. And, you know, he's being prosecuted and may go to jail, and his friends are in jail and so forth. But I think it's true. I mean, I think that these are powerful mm-hmm. ideas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is it S T A starts B by P L A N planting a seed.
Mm-hmm.
L literally and figuratively. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You don't have. Was it you don't have? You. You. S. You use. Your. F. A. R. Farm. A. As. E. D. Education.
Yeah. Yeah, farms are very multi-purpose. We think of farms as places that you grow food, but they have many benefits besides the fact that they grow food. They are incredible in terms of environmental habitat and wildlife habitat. They're very important in terms of education. They're important, very important as part of the viability of farming communities, you know, and which are in California and really across the country having a very hard time, you know, with a lot of cultural and social and economic problems. Really viable small-scale farming community can keep rural areas alive, can keep them viable, can keep them healthy. So farms are, they really are kind of the backbone of many, many communities. They're very important for many reasons. We have a lot of educational programs on our farm. We have school kids come and take classes. Well, actually, they don't really take classes. I'm sorry. They come and they just be they're there for 2 or 3 days overnight.
You are to S N sneaky to do it as a class.
Right. Yeah. We just have them there and they just get to see it.
They A B S absorb.
Oh, right. 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 And we give tours, a lot of tours, and we have festivals and events at our farm. So I think that's right. The farm is very much an educational organization.
And I, N, T, E, R, N, S,
Interns.
Yeah.
You have interns.
Yeah. Yeah. We do. We have apprentices. We have a program where people live and work on the farm with us and come to the farmers markets. And many of those people go on to start farms themselves. So we're growing new farmers as well.
In
That's part of it.
Fact. O. You. Our kid. Yeah, Koala, him and his girlfriend spent a summer interning, not at Full Belly, but at a farm up in that area.
And great.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they like it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love. He said it was really hard work, but totally loved it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We were W worried about him. Well, when he was he was raised in a house with five adults. We all were kind of his parents. You know, two kids and five adults. And you know, we were like the hippies, you know. And and so then he gets high school age and he goes totally straight. He starts putting mousse in his hair and just like buying clothes with emblems on them, and it's like it was right around that time. Frank has like a lot of Frank has always had students. So as a kid, he would always see people going out to meet with Frank in the studio. So by the time he got to around high school age, he started having his weekly meetings with Frank. And Frank did what he could, you know. And But, and then he just, you know, somewhere along the way he flipped. He went to school in Santa Cruz, the university. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he started showing up with piercings and long hair. And all of a sudden he's thinking about studying acupuncture. And he's, you know, interning on an organic farm. And so, yeah, we always tell him we were really worried about you.
Well, what's he doing now? He turned.
He's going to school to be an acupuncturist.
Oh, good.
He volunteers at the Berkeley Free Clinic.
Uh huh.
And has like a job job to make money.
Uh huh.
And lives in a kind of a communal situation in Richmond.
Uh huh.
And is looking at schools to go.
Uh huh.
H E L P help. Oh, yeah. What, help A? Am I not doing this right? Sorry. A. R. Arab. Him and his friend started an organization where they would, kind of walk kids to school that might be in jeopardy of being given a hard time, like, because of all the crap going on. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of the ones that organize it and get people to do it, and they go to events and yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Frank's having him on the show to talk about that. Yeah. I R E A D red in the and newspaper that O R organic farms I N G farming organic farming S T A R started in U upscale no up S T A upstate N New York B A as A H O hobby I T H I thought that is N E W news to the T R I tribal people who did organic farming forever.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I think when people talk about organic, they are talking about sort of the response to the sort of industrialized agriculture that took over after World War II. But it is true that before World War II, we didn't really use chemicals and chemical pesticides and chemical fertilizers in agriculture. So that's true. In some ways, we're going back to agriculture the way it was before World War II. I think it's also important, though, to recognize that that organic agriculture is defined by much more than just not using chemical pesticides and fertilizers. It's also, you know, a whole system. It's a whole way of farming that includes habitat for wildlife and techniques for managing pests if you do have them, and diversity and on your farm, and various kinds of diversity, and so it's probably now a lot more. It's very different probably than what it was before World War II also, because people have developed ways of having good yields and growing produce that can store and be shipped and all of that. So
they want to keep the DEF definition and narrow.
Right. Well, the folks that want to ship, you know, across the states and internationally, they need a sort of a legal definition. Yeah, yeah. That's what the legal definition is all about, keeping it so that it's you can just sort of follow a few rules and then call yourself organic. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's... I think it's important that we make it possible for as many people in some ways to grow without those chemicals as we can. But that's just one step. It's not... Obviously, it's not the whole picture.
We H A had P L A Planet Organics, the couple that run or started that, as guests on the show.
Yeah. We've sold them produce.
They
for
speak
their,
really highly
yeah,
of you guys.
For their CSA.
They are having problems buying directly from the farmers. That was the main beef they have, is that they want, that's what they want to do, is buy it directly from the small farms and buy it local as much as they can. And that the they said the wholesalers give them a hard time. What they do is they say that you have to buy from us. You can't buy from the farms directly. And for them, if they buy from the wholesalers, it starts to get expensive, and they like the relationship of buying directly from the farmers. But she said that the wholesalers will say it to the small farm, if you sell to Planet Organics, and then we won't take your stuff. So they're kind of strong-arming the farms.
So Planet Organics sells to wholesalers also?
No, they don't sell to wholesalers. But the wholesalers want them to buy the stuff from the wholesalers and not directly from the farm. The wholesaler tells the farm. He says to the farm, if you sell directly to Planet Organics, then I won't buy your stuff. Or they'll say, you know, to the farm, you can sell Planet Organics this, this, and this, but not this. And so, like, the good stuff or the stuff they want, they can't get. And apparently she went, like, to the event. I think you had mentioned you went to some kind of meeting or something. I don't know what it was called. But anyway, she brought it up in this room full of wholesalers and small farms. And it seemed like to her that the small farmers were afraid to speak up because they were worried to lose their relationship with the wholesalers. You're not aware of any of that stuff?
No, I'm not aware of any of that. I mean, I think there's definitely those kinds. It's a pretty the wholesale market can be very competitive. There's definitely independent distributors out there as well.
She said there was some that were great.
And those are the people who you have to choose to develop relationships with. you know, I think farmers sometimes sort of, some of us, I mean, there's just, there's, you don't have to sell to everyone. You don't have to do that. And so we try as much as we can to develop relationships with people who treat us right. And I don't know. It is very, very competitive. The wholesale market is very competitive, and it's not, it doesn't necessarily have ethics. You know, it's not there to support the values of community and small-scale farming and sustainability and those kinds of things. There are people, there are distributors within that market that do, but I think you have to seek those ones, those out, and work with them.
Who are the good ones?
Yeah. We have some real good friends in San Francisco. We work a lot with, you know, veritable vegetables and the real foods distributors, the people that just, there's actually a buyer in San Francisco that buys for all the real food stores in San
Francisco. Real Foods is the restaurant?
Real Foods. No, Real Foods is a chain. It's like they've got maybe four stores in the Bay Area. Huh. That's it. They're not anywhere else. They're in the Bay Area. Mm. It's called Real Foods. There's one in San Francisco, a couple in San Francisco. I think there's one in Sausalito, and I don't know where they all are.
Yeah.
They're amazing folks. You know, definitely people who believe in loyalty and supporting farmers, small-scale farmers.
And Veritable Vegetable, that's a wholesaler?
Oh, yeah, it's a wholesale distributor. Mm. Yeah, and there's several of them.
That is what, who we want to support. Then the others will get the message.
Right. That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. L P P E people R T R A I trained B by S A Safeway. On how food should look.
Yeah, and if you read Fast Food Nation, did you read Fast Food Nation? It was on.
That's the one that Matt. We did a performance with a guy at the Dada Fest that was his performance was inspired by the book Fast Food Nation.
Well, if you read Fast Food Nation, he writes a lot about how the fast food industry trains you about what food should taste like, and that's why they want so much to be in the schools, because there's stuff that they, you know, they put stuff in their food that then people's taste buds are trained to eat that kind of food and want it.
S
as they grow up.
You. Sugar.
Yeah.
Salt.
Sugar, salt, that. Just a lot of things. Yeah, and even little smell. There's actually things that they put in the food to make it smell appealing. I've never eaten fast food. I actually grew up, I can't eat, I've never in my entire life eaten a Pepsi, drank any of that stuff.
How did you do that?
Well, I don't even, we just never did get it, and to me, it tastes horrible. Right. I mean, it just tastes any kind of. I was in an airport recently, and I decided I should, since I talk about fast food, I decided, well, I should just try it. can see what it's like. And I got a taco from this place called Taco Bell. And it was so horrible tasting. It was so horrible tasting. And I've just never even been able to eat those even natural carbonated beverages, just because I think there's some sort of acquired taste about it or something. People don't really know what food should taste like.
You ruined me. Yeah, because Frank used to be able to eat stuff like that. And now it's like, you know, it gets like when we tour or travel or something, now we have to find like a grocery store. We have to find a restaurant. And it's just like real, we kind of plan our whole trip around that.
Yeah.
You know, being able to find a place that will cook good food and a grocery store.
Well, and don't you find that now there's certainly more places like that than 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, I would be like eating like cereal out of a box and peanut butter, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd starve whenever we went away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely got a lot better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.